So I arrived here about pretty much exactly 1 week and 1 hour ago. And it's been a really good week. It's been a very nice week. Sangsara, messed up place. Get out of it as soon as you can. But if you can spend time at places like Abhayagiri, I hope you can all really rejoice in that. It's been really lovely reconnecting with my Sangha brothers and also seeing lay people. I haven't even gotten to say hi to Sandra and Dennis. It's good to see you. And yeah, just this is a really wonderful group of people who gather here. And I thought I might start off the talk in a way that talks are usually finished, which is I'll say Handamayang Bhikkhu Sangha Bhava Sadhu Karang de Damase, which means now let us do that sadhu thing to all of the Bhikkhu Sangha, and then all of you just say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Handamayang Bhikkhu Sangha Bhava Sadhu Karang de Damase. Sadhu, 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 anumodami. That could have used a little bit more sparkle, but I won't force it on you again. So I thought I could very easily talk about Sangha this week. That is the group of monastics who really are dedicating their lives to the path, those noble beings who are walking the path, and thought I could talk about a really neat and engaging way to relate to the formal recollection of the Sangha. That is what we chant every morning and evening when we say, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. They are the blessed ones, disciples who've practiced well. And with that, you can think of all of the Sangha who are Supa, those who are very sweet, the sweet Sangha members, all the way from Ananda back in the day, all the way to all the sweet monastics in the world that you see, hopefully, in your lives a lot. And with Ujjupatipanno, you could think about all of those very direct practicing monks, the very rough and tumble monks like Mahakachana, all the way down to all the stern and serious practicing monastics in your lives. With Nyayapatipanno, those who practice, the word Nyaya means a method. So those who practice with a method. So you can think of those intelligent or those monks who really foreground maybe study, like Mahakachana, foremost in elaborating, doing analysis, all the way down to the very intellectual monks, Bhikkhu Bodhi, Bhante, Nalayo, and all the smart monastics in your life. And Samichi Patipanno, those who practice with integrity. So Sariputta, the Venerable Sariputta, who's practiced all around just beautifully with integrity, all the way down to Lumpur Pasano, Ajahn Jayasaro, and all your friends in the holy life. That's a cool way to stay engaged, because it's really possible to totally disengage when you do chanting. And that is a waste of time, everybody. Especially if you come here often, or if you're a monk, you're a monastic, and you just do the chanting by rote, and you've memorized all the words, and then you just say it, and it's just, the mind can be all the way on the other side of the world, and you just chant it. Whereas if you have some way to actually engage with what you're saying, recollect the supa, the sweet, the rigorous, the studious, the beautiful practitioners in your life, all the way from the time of the Buddha down to us, that is inspiring. That's a way to stay engaged with the practice. But I think I probably won't actually talk about the Sangha. There's a practice which is a bit more poignant in my life right now, which is something which the Sangha, certainly the Thai forest Sangha in our tradition, really talk about a lot, foregrounding that which knows, the knowing quality of the mind. The Thai is the puru, yuga puru, that is, stay with the pu is the one, and ru, that which knows, stay with that which knows, or even sometimes it's translated as stay with the one who knows, or be the one who knows. And when you first hear that, if it's not immediately meaningful for you, you can try to think about that. What does that mean? Who is this one who knows? Who is the one who knows? Who is the knowing? Who is the knowing? Who is the poo, you could say? Who is the poo? But I find that kind of intellectual, academic way of thinking about it just doesn't really work in the way that that's not what Ajahn Mun, Ajahn Mahabua, Lompur Sumedho, that's not what they were advocating, trying to intellectually figure out who is the knowing, what is that which knows, who is consciousness, what is the big S self. The Buddha taught us not self. And this question of who is the knowing, who is the poo, is not so helpful. But a more practice-oriented question, which I find immediately applicable pretty much any time, eyes open, eyes closed, formal meditation, engaging with others, is not who is the knowing, but where. Where is the knowing? So where is the poo, you could say. And that is an interesting question. And there are different exercises. There are different ways that you can conceive of this. Where is the mind? Where is the mind? So a neat framework, which I use a lot, in which I'll try to relate to people, is almost like a calisthenics for, it's a way of exercising six particular spatial ways of being with the knowing. And each one of them is slightly different. And if you're at all into cognitive flexibility or having joy in your life, then this is a good thing. Because when we first come to Buddhism, we might learn a breath meditation technique, stay with the breath at the tip of your nose, and you think you do this and you get some results and you think, oh, great, all I have to do is just stick with the breath at the tip of my nose for the rest of my life and then I'll get enlightened at some point. But then you do that and you try to do that for even an hour and a half or 2 hours, not to mention a week and a half or 2 weeks or a year and a half or 2 years or a decade and a half or 2 decades or lifetimes, and it just gets stale. If it doesn't get stale for any of you, then sadhu, that's amazing and worthy of some sadhus. But it can get stale, and there are other ways to be with the knowing, to be with the breath, to practice this anapanasati. So the framework, these six exercises, and unfortunately have given the name of this six-part exercise of ways of being with the puru as the puru skidu. The puru skidu. Good, now that I've said that, I can breathe out. Yeah, so these are aligned with the six aspects of the Buddha's definition for the cessation of suffering. So the Buddha said, what is the cessation of suffering? He talks about in the Dhammacakka Sutta, his first sermon. It's in this book on page 107, 108, very auspicious. What is the cessation of suffering? Ajahn Jeff's translation, it is the remainderless fading away and cessation, renunciation, relinquishment, release, and letting go. Viraga, Nirodha, Chago, Patinisago, Mutti, Analio. Or the translations, which are just for practice, which I'll suggest tonight, are the unhook, drop, open, see, include, know, and let be. So where is your mind right now? And so say if you're still with the breath, where are you knowing the breath from? And for a lot of people, definitely for myself, having never thought of that question, having never had that question posed to me, never think about it. And as soon as someone does, and I think this is common for a lot of people, it's almost as if we're watching the breath from behind the eyes. Someone says, look at the breath, watch the breath. And it's as if we're looking down and to the middle, almost as if we're watching every breath. But the mind, the knowing, the puru, that which knows, is not in the brain. It's not specifically in our felt experience of it, is not sequestered and isolated and imprisoned in the brain, our first person experience of the knowing. So there's no reason why you need to look down into the center when you know the breath. So with this viraga, this fading away, it literally means to fade away. Raga is passion, or literally a die, D-Y-E, and viraga is die coming out. And so this movement, this first exercise, and would invite all of you to practice this as I continue talking about viraga, is an unhooking. So unhooking. Whatever your meditation topic is right now, whether it's just with listening, or if you're with the breath, or whatever your object is, see if you can unhook from that. Still know it. You can still know every single in and out breath, but just unhook from the fixity of it. There's no reason you have to constrict and confine the aperture of your mind to squeeze a laser, you know, onto the breath. You can open that up. You can unhook the mind from this contraction. The mind can be bigger. You can unhook from that which is squeezing the breath or squeezing the listening capacity. So just practice that, just unhooking awareness. And you can imagine the mind just expanding in every direction, 360 degrees outwards, just unhooking. There's no need to Velcro to the breath. There's no need to be totally stuck on it, grasping, clinging it. The mind can just unhook. Viraga, just this dispassion around the breath, unhooking. And being conscious, we all need to be conscious as we're knowing our meditation object, with how we are knowing our meditation object. Is there greed or contraction, anger or sleepiness or restlessness or doubt? And unhook from those. If you're feeling sleepy, if you were to experiment and test yourself and say, okay, just open your eyes right now. Would it be a filmy and a sticky kind of, okay, or is it a very clear, open-eyed? Are you awake? How awake are you right now? Because we're not practicing sleep. We're not practicing falling asleep. We're practicing openness. We're practicing awareness, lightness, awareness. So unhooking from this sleepiness, unhooking from any sense of agitation, unhooking with brightness of mind. So that's viraga. And the next quality is nirodha, or that which is dropping. This is ni means down. Rud means to stop. So stopping and dropping down. So as I talk about nirodha, this aspect of knowing, which is able to just drop, see if you can do this, drop awareness. If it does seem like you're knowing from a homunculus, some little being behind the eyes, or wherever you're knowing, drop into the heart space. And see if you can hear, see if you can know from the heart, nirodha, just dropping down into the heart. Knowing from the heart and not thinking about your heart, not visualizing your heart, the different vessels and the different chambers, but actually feeling from your heart. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, it just feels like all you can do is look down at the heart, then just work your way down. You can feel the mind dropping from behind the eyes, down through the throat, knowing the throat from the inside, dropping down, knowing the lungs from inside the lungs, and then dropping down, knowing the heart from inside the heart. And this is a good exercise too. Knowing from different parts of the body has a different emotional resonance to it. And if you're knowing all the time from behind your eyes, this very cerebral space, yeah, you get kind of this wrinkly contraction around the eyes. Whereas you come down, if you're able to drop down into this heart space, it's a much more loving space. So see if you can drop awareness there into the heart and drop all of whatever hindrance might be hindering, obstructing clarity. If that's restlessness or even bodily tension, if you look and you feel tension in your shoulders, you can just drop that. Allow the musculature of the shoulders, of the face, any holding on, to just drop down into the heart. This loving space of the heart. We're here because we want to love ourselves and we want to love other people. In this heart space, it actually is in the Pali. You say the citta can be translated as heart or mind. It's ambiguous, but the word hadiya literally means the heart, the heart base. And sometimes the hadiya vatu is a synonym for the citta, so the heart space. And even in Abhidhamma, they'll say the home of the heart is in this heart, the physical organ of the heart. But when you start experimenting with awareness, you notice that the mind isn't secluded anywhere. The heart is not just secluded anywhere. And so that's Nirodha, dropping. And just drop. You can say, you can use a mantra to help you with any of these motions. Virago, to unhook. Nirodho, to drop. Nirodha on the in-breath, do on the out-breath. Dropping out it down into the heart space. If you're feeling very critical of other people, just Nirodho, stopping and dropping. Drop down into the heart. It sucks. Our argument and our critique of those around us, it's often so much a cerebral fault-finding. But you come down into the heart space and it's on fire. And why would you do that to yourself? Why would you hold on? It's the thoughts that are holding on, whereas the heart can oftentimes let go because it just sucks to be angry and to hold that inside. So, Nirodho, stopping and dropping. And the next movement is Chago. You can think Chag on the in-breath, Go on the out-breath. And this, usually translated as renunciation, it is sometimes a synonym for Dana, forgiving. But here the movement that I'll suggest those who love happiness and cognitive flexibility. If you don't love those things, feel free to do whatever you want. But if you want to experiment with having a flexible mind, then yeah, with this opening, this is the opening movement. And see if here with this movement, if you can expand the mind to fill the whole body. So you were just dropped down into the heart, and here you're opening to, as it says in the Anapanasati Sutta, one trains thus, I will breathe in, I will breathe out, experiencing the whole body. So we can use Chago, this renunciation, this giving away. We don't just have to stay secluded. We can open up the heart, and opening up the mind to fill the whole body from the soles of the feet up, up to the crown of the head. Just feeling this whole body, the skin and all the musculature, all the organs of the body. And just expanding. And here too, I would urge all of you, how is your mind right now? And please really do ask yourself, are you falling asleep? Are you restless? Are you annoyed? Are you craving? Are you in doubt? And just open from whatever, whichever one of those you're experiencing. Letting the mind become bright. Yeah, you can, if you focus like a laser, you can get the mind to be bright like a laser. But when you practice with the mind, this flexibility, which can unhook and drop and open, this Chago, just opening to the whole body, that's a lightness that can fill the whole body, can fill the whole body, make the mind bright. And that's a more sustainable light than the laser of awareness. And yeah, it is conducive. All of these are conducive both to samadhi and to vipassana, to concentration and to seeing things the way they are. And these are beautiful samadhi methods. If you open, you really do. It is an exercise and you can do it anytime, eyes open, eyes closed, formal meditation or outside of it. When you're interacting with someone else, just feel the whole body right now, opening. Chago, just renouncing this small sense of knowing, filling the whole body, opening up. So we've got Virago, which is unhooking, Nirodho, dropping, Chago, which is opening, and the next exercise is Patinisago. Patinisago, relinquishment, is how Ajahn Jeff translates it. And here for contemplation, I'll suggest seeing. And for this movement, just experiment with knowing, as it says in the Satipatthana Sutta, knowing externally. So in that sutta, the Buddha says, one knows the mind internally and one can know the mind externally. And this is interesting. So see, experience, know from the truth, which is, I think, becoming a scientific truth, that all of our experience, all of each of our experience, everything that we see, hear, know, smell, taste, touch, all that we know, everything that we've ever seen, everything that if you were to open your eyes right now, everything that you would see, everything that you can hear is actually happening in your own mind. Your mind is creating your external world for you. So in this movement, we're seeing and going beyond. So this is a movement of the mind that, oh, okay, moving, say if the body is knowing, you're knowing the body, and you can feel the skin, and then just realize that, actually say, come to the feeling in your hands, and you actually feel the hands from the inside, and you don't feel the extent of your hands. It's not like you come to the end of the skin balloon. You don't come to the end of the skin bag, and it's like, oh yeah, there's the rubber end of my hand felt from the inside. It's like it feels like a diffuse cloud. You meet the end of what seems like the inside, and where does that cloud end? When you have your eyes closed, or even if you just feel, actually, I can't feel the end of my, I can't feel the border where I stop in the world, the quote-unquote world begins. And this is an interesting insight. So in this move, this Pati Nisaga, practice-based translation of seeing, this seeing that we think oftentimes that the mind is inside of the brain. And then when we realize that we can know from the whole body, we might think that the mind is inside of the body. But then when we come to this step, we realize that actually the body is inside of the mind. The mind is bigger than the body. And you can see that, and you can even feel and know that to some extent. It's true. The, say, 1 foot in front of you, 1 foot off the ground, a foot by foot square box, that box of air in front of you completely exists in your own mind as you are ever going to know it. So feeling that, this is not an intellectual thing, but seeing if you can feel that. So this is Patinissago, seeing. So we practiced, and see if you can do this in quicker order, just to stay awake. This is a time when it's very easy to fall asleep. You've been awake all day, and you might be used to falling asleep during Dhamma talks. So it's a habit, but you can practice this in quick succession. So Virago is unhooking. Nirodho is dropping into the heart. Chago is opening to fill your whole body. Patinissago is seeing. Yeah, I can kind of feel around my body. I can kind of feel around my body. I can certainly feel heat around my body. But where do I begin? Yeah, is it possible that the mind is not in the body, but that the body is inside the mind? Not necessarily that the mind is in the world, but maybe the world is inside of the mind as we each experience it. So that's Patinissago. Muti is the next exercise. And with this, we've gone from a spacious knowing the space around us. And with Muti, would suggest a inclusive knowing. So knowing both the internal and the external, as the Buddha says in the Satipatthana Sutta. So here, just including your whole body and that border, which seems like a fuzzy cloud between your inner body and the world around you, and that world around you. So an inclusive knowing. So this is mut on the in-breath, if you want, ti on the out-breath, muti, freedom. And you can practice with this inclusiveness, include. This is the movement of include. So we just suggest you can know the breath, if that's what your object is. You can know the breath inclusively, very well. Because it's both inside of you, and then it's at the inside tip of your nose, and then it's outside of you. It's outside, and then it's at the tip of your nose, and then it's inside of you. So an inclusive knowing. And again, this is not intellectual, and you can use this to interact with whatever you're experiencing. If that's some kind of craving for the talk to end, some aversion, just including that aversion. One of the things which perpetuates aversion, perpetuates hatred, is that we as practitioners, we hate it. We hate our hatred, and that just perpetuates it. It becomes this hatred cyclone cycle. I hate, and then I hate the hate, and then I hate the hate the hate, and it's just like this. Where's the hate? Stop. And so including the hate and that which is not hate. Because there is that which is not hate. Your mind, if there was not that which was not hate, then there would be no hope. You would have no hope. You would just be an utterly hateful little goblin. So this is inclusion, inclusion, include, include, mutti. So in the freedom, mutti literally means freedom. And this is the freedom that comes from, yeah, including that which is anything, that which we're experiencing, including it, and that which is beyond that, including the internal, including the border, and including the external. So we've unhooked, we've dropped to the heart, we've opened to the whole body. We've seen that maybe the body and the knowing can go beyond the body, and we've included both the body and that which is beyond the body. And the last step is analyo, analyo. And with this step, this is the step of just letting be. And don't worry, I'll only talk for 9 more minutes. And I might not even talk for 9. But this analyo is letting be, the exercise of just letting be. And this is a very good skill to have. And it is a muscle. All of these movements are a muscle. And so see if you can practice this for the next however long. It's just letting be, wherever your mind's at, whatever hindrances might be coming up. Okay, it's just like this. And there's the knowing of this. So this is analyo. So alaya literally means a home. So like Himalaya is hima, means snow. Alaya is the home. Himalaya, the home of snow. And what analyo is that which has no home, that which has no basis. So this is the mind, which is just freely knowing. You're not trying to fix the mind, not trying to just dig your stake in. And the mind can do that. And so you need to, yeah, those are the 6 steps of the Puru Skidoo. And each of these are good exercises, everybody. And if you don't see the usefulness of them, that sucks. If you want a sustainable monastic life, so many of us, at one point, like half of our Sangha came from a tradition which was very technique-centric. We learn 1 or 2 techniques, stay with the breath in a particular way, use very particular technique-based tradition. And that's great. And I'm grateful that I had that technique-based thing. If you don't have that, it's possible to just, you know, spin around and not have a kind of mooring. But when you become too focused on the technique, then it's your mind becomes brittle and you can see it. You can see it in it's a trope. You see it and you can probably see it in yourself. You can feel it in yourself. It's a mind which is very tight. It's a mind which is very tight. So knowing these movements, which are, and I'll go through these again, and it would be wonderful if, and again, you can do these with your eyes open or your eyes closed. You can do them while speaking or remaining silent. And I'll just see if people have memorized the mnemonic. So the first one is viraga, and that move is to unhook, unhook. So wherever your mind is fixating, whatever that tiny laser aperture is, just unhooking three-dimensionally. And the next step is nirodha, which is to drop, dropping down into the heart. What are you actually feeling right now? And can it be warmer? Can it be warmer to yourself and to those around you? Then we've got chago, which is, in this translation, is to open. So unhook, drop, open, viraga, nirodha, chago, to open. Open to your whole body. So we'll train thus. I will breathe in, I will breathe out, experiencing the whole body, knowing the whole body. The next step is patinisago, where we train to see. Seeing, yeah, maybe it is the case that the body is in the mind. That, and where do I stop? Where does the knowing stop? Patinisago. And any of these, it's good to be able to cycle through them because sometimes the mind wants to know in a different way. So you can easily with, you know, 6 in and out breaths, you can go through all of these. So virago, just unhook, nirodha, drop, chago, open, patinisago, see. Mutti is to include. This is a motion of the heart. It's not a thinking of the brain, just including internal and external. And analeo is to let be, just letting be. And I have to say, not many of you remembered all those, but that's okay. That's okay. But this, it's good to be able to have cognitive flexibility. I mean, before we got interested in Buddhism, you would meet someone who had flexible person, who was a bright and they weren't fixated and they weren't collapsed on their own views of the world and their own views about life and themselves and other people. And so many times we just come to Buddhism and we get so fixated on this technique or this view or I'm right or only this is true and everything else is wrong. And all of these movements, unhook, drop, open, see, include, no, and let be. It almost rhymes. In fact, it more than almost rhymes. It actually does rhyme. Unhook, drop, open, see, include, no, and let be. And you could practice any one of these. Viraga, Nirodha, Chago, Patinesago, Mutti, Analio, for a whole day, for a whole week, for a whole life. And having the ability to practice with multiple of them is also really useful. So I hope that some people felt benefit from that. And yeah, when you have a mind which is open like this, then you're more open to seeing beauty. And yeah, the Sangha, when we bow to the Sangha, we are bowing to the Arya Sangha, the Noble Sangha. But there is also this Bhikkhu Sangha, Bhikkhuni Sangha, this living monastics. And the Dhamma, we say it's beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. And with the Sangha, sometimes it seems like it's beautiful in the beginning, but then you live with these guys and it's in the middle, it's a little bit unbeautiful. It's a little bit unbeautiful sometimes. In the beginning, everybody wears their robes so neatly and they all bow at the same time. And you live with them for a while and you pick up the smells and this guy does that. But then you live with venerables for a long time and yeah, it is beautiful in the end. And I do hope I can stay in robes for the rest of my life. And I do hope that as many venerables have that desire, that wish, that wholesome wish, also stay in robes so we can be old and beautiful in the end together. And yeah, it's a really noble and I'm really grateful for all of the Sangha here, all of the lay people. And we'll just conclude the talk with that. 8 minutes, everybody. That was 8 minutes.